Thank you all for attending the session today. My name is Jack McCoy. I've just recently finished a master's at New Mexico State University and beginning PhD work at Ohio State here this fall. But today I'd like to talk to you about some of the work I did in New Mexico, evaluating resistance in capsicum species to powdery mildew and characterizing the CAMLO2 locus. I suppose we don't have a pointer, do we? Okay. Well, so worldwide, in 2014, there were 4 million hectares of pepper planted. And of that, New Mexico had the largest area of chili grown in the United States. There are 5 domesticated species, with the majority of plants being in the Capsicum annuum species. This includes bell pepper, New Mexico pod type, jalapeno, and most of the peppers you know. Also included in this upcoming study will be 3 wild accessions. The New Mexico State University has the longest continuous chili pepper breeding program, and major objectives until now have been disease resistance, primarily in chili wilts, including Phytophthora capsici and verticillium, as well as root knot nematode. A relatively new venture in the program is powdery mildew resistance. Powdery mildew in chili pepper is caused by the obligate fungal pathogen Leviulia taurica. It has a broad host range and a wide distribution, including 74 families, 390 genera, and 1,000 species. It was first introduced into northern Mexico and the southern and the southwestern United States in the 1990s, and since then has been a reoccurring disease in chili pepper. Early infection in the season leads to defoliation and quality and yield reduction. Here in this photo, you can see a bell pepper, which has undergone severe infection from powdery mildew and saw defoliation and resulting in severe sun scald and unmarketable fruit. Powdery mildew has optimal germination temperatures between 10 and 30 degrees Celsius, which coincides with the growing season in New Mexico, where in May and September we're around 7 to 30 degrees Celsius in temperature range. When we consider humidity from irrigation and rain, conditions can be highly favorable for the disease. The disease can be managed with fungicide application. However, early detection and thorough coverage of the plant is required, and it can be costly. As we all know, breeding for resistance is the most environmentally and economically sustainable solution. There have been a few studies on resistance in chili pepper. However, these studies typically focus on inheritance of resistance and on specific breeding materials of those programs. The literature lacks a comprehensive evaluation of germplasm. As I'm sure many people are familiar with in this room, a common method of breeding for disease resistance is utilizing the gene-for-gene model, in which a resistant gene in the host is required and a corresponding avirulence gene in the pathogen, leading to race-specific resistance. Contrary to this, and also a few talks ago I got a good introduction to, is the susceptibility gene, which serves a negative regulatory function, and the pathogen effectors require targets for susceptibility in the host. In its recessive loss-of-function state, susceptibility genes can confer broad-spectrum resistance to powdery mildew. Mildew-resistant locus O is a susceptibility gene that has been studied a lot in recent years. In its recessive state, it confers broad-spectrum resistance to powdery mildew, and has been studied in a number of crops, including pea, pepper, rose, tobacco, and tomato. In the top panel here, you can see dominant MLO alleles conferring or highly susceptible to powdery mildew. And in the bottom panel, either silenced MLO or naturally occurring loss-of-function recessive MLO genes conferring resistance to powdery mildew. Second from the, I guess that would be your right, is pepper and the MLO locus. A couple of alleles have been identified in pepper for powdery mildew, for MLO, and the focus of this study will be CAMLO2. It has been shown to play a role in resistance in, to bacterial and fungal pathogens. And in the in this example, you can see that there we have a tomato which has been transformed with the CAMLO2 dominant allele, showing high levels of powdery mildew susceptibility. And in the center is the tomato with the naturally occurring loss of function recessive MLO gene, showing resistance to the disease. Below, you can see that the transformed tomatoes with the CAMLO2 locus are both highly expressed and show higher levels of fungal growth in the plant. So the objective of this study was to evaluate sources of resistance to powdery mildew, to powdery mildew, and identify resistant alleles of the CAMLO2 locus in capsicum populations. Each year, the New Mexico State University grows an annual Chili Pepper Institute teaching garden. This past fall, there was 152 accessions grown. Six species were represented, as well as a number of commercial cultivars. In the fall of 2017, we observed severe infection of powdery mildew and took this opportunity to evaluate for resistance. A disease index ranging from 0 to 5 was used, with 1 being few chlorotic lesions, however no sporulation, all the way up to 5 being high levels of sporulation both on the adaxyl and abaxyl sides of the leaf. Plants were considered resistant if they scored a disease index of 1 or less. The CAMLO2 gene is available on GeneBank and was sequenced using the Sanger sequencing technique and targeted PCR gene walking in a resistant and susceptible control. HV12 is a resistant powdery mildew, a Capsicum annuum chili resistant double haploid and is suspected of having the recessive CAMLO2. Mayor is a common bell type used and is highly susceptible to powdery mildew and is used often in powdery mildew experiments. Of the 153 accessions evaluated, we saw that 53 accessions showed high levels of resistance. Only 16 of the 115 Capsicum annuum species were resistant. However, all, with the exception of 1 Capsicum frutescens species, were resistant. All other species, with the exception of 1 genotype in Capsicum frutescens, were resistant. And a hypersensitive response that you can see in this picture was also observed, in which infection clearly occurred on the plant, but the disease was not allowed to spread and no sporulation was observed. Of the 12,000 base pair CAMLO2 gene, approximately 6,000 base pairs was sequenced. Difficulty in sequencing was due to highly repetitive regions in the gene and nonspecific binding. However, in the 6,000 base pairs sequenced, we found 1 single nucleotide polymorphism. In a restriction site was identified, and the enzyme SMAI was used in order to distinguish between the SNP, between the susceptible control Mayor and the resistant HV12. And here you can see our S and our R marker using the restriction enzyme. Marker evaluation was done with 49 of the accessions evaluated, and 36 resistant genotypes were evaluated, all sharing the same resistant marker. Six susceptible genotypes were evaluated, and mixed results were observed, with 3 showing a susceptible marker and 3 having a resistant marker. It's also important to note in the literature that the resistant recessive MLO phenotype is often observed as necrotic and chlorotic leaf spotting, which is similar to the phenotype observed in many of our resistant accessions. From this study, we can conclude that there are significant sources of resistance among capsicum species, which provides valuable information for continued breeding efforts, particularly in Capsicum annuum, which has high commercial value. The developed marker does not, unfortunately, distinguish between all susceptible accessions, however, could be utilized and helpful in early screening. in early screening for resistant accessions. But CAMLO2 could possibly be a source of resistance in, among these populations. However, continued work in this area is needed. And with that, I'll take any questions. It's a good question, actually. Thank you. But I don't have a good answer for that, actually. It was not, we weren't really observing the process of disease. It was sort of a, once there was a high level of incidence of disease in the field, we went through and evaluated everything. So I'm not sure when it all occurred.
Did you notice the water soap around those lesions?
No. Typically, no. There was also some defoliation that was observed, too, like premature, early in these hypersensitive responses. So once it occurred, leaves would drop, but not in a, you know, like a plant devastating, in a devastating way, if that makes sense. I'm not describing that well, but no water. Thank you. Any other questions? Yeah.
So you find one SNP GC, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So how that SNP was segregating within your population?
So that was it was segregating. So the SNP seemed to, so all the resistant seemed to share the same SNP as the resistant control, but in the susceptibles, in the susceptible accessions, it seemed that some of them did possess the susceptible SNP, but also they could have possessed the resistant SNP too, which suggests that there is probably multiple genetic controls of resistance and susceptibility of powdery mildew. Thank you. Hey, Dr. Shi. Thank you.
Yeah, so you're the continue this one. You the so is the gene, the susceptibility is dominant or resistant is dominant?
I'm sorry. So is, are you asking if, and I realize now this is recording and I haven't been repeating the question, so, but you're asking is susceptibility dominant?
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's kind of a hard concept sometimes to think. It's opposite of what we tend to be taught, but it's in, if the gene is functioning as normal, we observe a susceptible phenotype.
So expand your susceptibility. Maybe the susceptibility half is heterogeneous.
Yeah, that's very possible.
That
yes, and continued work with this would be, you know, creating a segregating population between the two controls I had, and then reevaluating the marker. But, you know, it was a limited master's project and kind of difficult to, time and resources were limited, but yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? I think I've got, I have 30 seconds, one more minute. So, but if not, I'm happy to end 30 seconds early too. So, all right. Well, thank you very much.